My name is Mark Shaw, and this topic is important to you guys. It's called Divine Intervention, Hope and Help for Families of Acts, because you guys are going to be interacting a lot with families and family members, and you need to know, you know, what to do with them and how do I help them. And so hopefully this workshop will give you some tools and some insight into how everybody's thinking in this dynamic that the world calls addiction, we know to be life-dominating sin. And so with that, let's open with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, our hearts are filled with gratitude at the power of your word, at the power of your spirit that lives inside of us, that we can be led by the Holy Spirit and have our eyes and ears open to see and hear what you would have us to know. Lord, today we pray that we would be receptive to whatever it is that you want to teach us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful servants, good stewards of the gift you've given us of your word, and to minister it faithfully, trusting in your sufficient power to transform the lives of the people we serve. And we ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I think most of you were here the other night. We had Vision of Hope presentation, and you got to hear some of the testimonies from the girls in that ministry, and I hope that blessed you, those of you that were here Sunday night. I know not everybody can make it on Sunday night, but that is my position. I'm pastor on staff here, and I'm the executive director of Vision of Hope, which is a women's residential program, and we have tours today, 11 to 2, self-guided, so you just go over to the house that's on this campus beyond the community center. And we're actually in the newspaper today. I don't know if you saw that, if anybody saw the paper, but I tried to get that article run last September for National Recovery Month. And so it's just taken, 4 or 5 months, which is no big deal to God, but to me it's a big deal. You know, that's a long time. But we got the article in the paper today about the BCTC, and Martha, who spoke here the other night, was featured in that article. And so really neat to see 5 years ago, her parents were here. Their daughter was, going to die. They were going to admit her to a psych ward. And now she's speaking at this very conference because of the transformation that God's done in her life. And that's my mission, is to tell people that God is still transforming lives. And you don't need to doubt that at all. So without further ado, let's get started. I didn't give you a lot of fill in the blanks. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. But I want to start with the Bible verse that really is going to be our theme for this whole workshop this morning. Hebrews 11:6, one that you know very well. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And that's where we start, and that's where we're going to end, because this whole thing is about operating in faith. The reason I wrote this book, Divine Intervention, was I wanted people to, whether they were sending their loved one away or whether they were going to continue to work with their loved one in some capacity, whether the loved one is living at home or what, either direction they went, that they did it in faith. And that's something I tell family members right away, is if you're to the place where you're at Proverbs 22:10, which says, cast the scoffer out and strife will cease. If you're at that place, then you have to do that in faith. And if you're at the place where you still want to work with a family member, you still want to help them and you believe you can help them and you can be an instrument of divine grace in their lives, then you have to do that by faith. But either direction you go, you could cite Bible verses, right? Well, here's my list of Bible verses for casting them out. And here's my list of Bible verses for continuing to work with them. So I believe there's some great freedom that God gives us as biblical counselors to teach people the truth there, but ultimately they have to do it in faith and not in fear. So that's what we're teaching folks, is to walk by faith, especially the families, as you're dealing with wayward loved ones. So what's the impact on families? Well, if you have a Bible, turn to Genesis 9, and we'll read the account of Noah in verse 20 through 27. Noah began to be a man of the soil, And he planted a vineyard, verse 21. He drank of the wine and became drunk and lay uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Then Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it on both their shoulders and walked backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned backward and they did not see their father's nakedness. When Noah woke from his wine and knew what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be to his brothers." He also said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. And may God enlarge Japheth, and let him dwell in the tent of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant." And so we see here, this is after the flood. So this righteous man, Genesis 6, verse 9 says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. So here's a man who walked with God, right? God miraculously saved him, his wife, his three sons, and their three wives. So eight people on the ark. God, he saw God's judgment poured out, his wrath poured out on others. And I thank God for that every day. I don't know about you, but God will never pour out his wrath on those of us who are trusting in Jesus Christ. Amen? Isn't that an awesome thought? I mean, if you don't hear anything good the rest of the day, that's an awesome thought. And Noah didn't have God's wrath poured out on him. That was poured out on Jesus, we know at Calvary. But in the ark situation, it was poured out on all the people in the flood. And so here's a guy who walks with God, is righteous, has this incredible event. And then we read right after that, he begins to be a man of the soil and plants a vineyard and drinks wine and becomes drunk and lays uncovered in his tent. And then you see that there is sexual sin tied into this in some way. It's not clear here, and you hear people argue it was this or that. I just take the text literally. But sexual sin is often tied into drunkenness and what the world calls addiction. And then you see the ultimate consequence to not just Noah, but to his son and grandson. And so you have the Canaanites, this people who plague Israel for thousands of years. So this one moment, one choice, has an impact for hundreds of years. Thousands of years. And I think that's what we're dealing with drunkards today. And boy, there's no shortage of that in our culture today. I mean, on the news, even this morning, I saw that there was a big drug bust in Italy, I believe it was, where the USA and Italy were working together to do a mafia drug sting. Did you hear about that this morning? It's breaking news, you know. You know how that goes. But you've got Justin Bieber in the paper recently. You know, Michael Jackson died of drugs. Whitney Houston, Philip Seymour Hoffman just recently died. And I mean, you know, I've got a list of over 200 people, celebrities that are well-known, you know, government officials and all that just have struggled with chemical addiction. And if you want more statistics, write this down. There's drugabuse.gov. It's a government website, but drugabuse.gov will give you tons of stats. And we'll talk about one of them in just a minute. So that's Noah, and that's the impact that he had. And just, you know, his choice to be drunk with wine one time, and how God is not mocked, and how that sin brought a curse on Canaan, and how they plagued Israel for hundreds of years. And then Genesis 19, if you'll turn there, Genesis 19, a guy named Lot. Now, lest we sit in judgment of Lot, I always try to read 2 Peter 2, 7 through 7 and 8 first, which says this, "And if he rescued righteous Lot," so he calls him righteous, "greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, for as that righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. So you see the word righteous there three times in reference to Lot. Now keep that in mind as we read this in Genesis 19.